Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching focusing on knowing God was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, I wished I had time to turn over to Exodus chapter 32 and chapter 33 about Moses, but Moses knew God as nobody in his day did. God talked to him face to face. Matter of fact, God even rebuked other people. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers came out and spoke against Moses and says, "What makes you think you're the only one God can use? We're all the Levites. We are all the ministers of God. You take too much upon yourself." And God came down and opened the earth, swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and 250 men alive into the pit, and the earth closed on them. And then God appeared and said in an audible voice, "If anybody among you wants to talk to me, I'll give you a dream, a vision, a revelation. But my servant Moses isn't that way. I'll talk to him face to face." Boy, Moses was a powerful man. And yet Moses, in Exodus chapter 32, he cried out and he says, "God, show me your ways that I may know you." A man who already had talked to God face to face, had seen the burning bush, had called these 10 plagues upon the nation of Egypt, had delivered the Israelites out of bondage. The man who had done all of these things, who went up into the mountain and came down and his face was shining. After that, he says, "Show me your ways that I might know you." You don't ever know God completely. God is infinite. God is bigger than what we can receive in our little finite brain. It's a continual process. If God was to reveal everything about Himself to us at one time, you'd just overload. Amen. You'd self-destruct. You know, the reason I believe the Bible says no man can see God and live, it's not because God's going to kill you if you see Him. He wants to stay hidden. That's not it. It's that God is so awesome. These physical bodies cannot contain the glory of God. If you were to see all of God, we would self-destruct. Sometimes we miss that because we saw Jesus. And again, like I was teaching last night, Jesus had flesh around Him that hid who He really was. But when John saw Him on the Isle of Patmos and he saw the resurrected Christ, man, he fell at His feet as if He was dead, no longer putting His head on His chest anymore, but now he saw Jesus as He really was. If we were to really see God in all of His glory, I guarantee you, you just can't live and do that. And so He says here that we might know Him. This is a progressive thing. He already knew Him, but He wanted to know Him more. And I believe that verse 9 is a key. And what I want to do tonight is, instead of just teaching one thing, I'm going to mention a lot of different things that I believe are keys to knowing God. And I'm going to refer to some teachings and things that I got that if something is quickened to you, you ought to get these teachings and study it out further. But this is exactly the way that I began to know God. First of all, I was born again when I was 8 years old and I knew Jesus as my Savior and it was genuine. I was made fun of the next day in the third grade because I had become a Christian. They could tell I was different. 8 years old and my friend says, "What's different about you?" I got saved. Amen. And I knew Him as Savior, but I became religious. And I read my daily Bible readings is what we called it in the Baptist church every day of my life from the time I was 8 years old until I was 18. I never, ever, ever missed. I remember one time being brought home from a rodeo and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and they put me in bed and I woke up because I hadn't read my daily Bible readings and I had to read them before I could go to sleep. I mean, it was just, I did that. I studied the Word, but it wasn't alive to me. It wasn't like I was talking about this morning. I was reading it with a religious mindset. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 13, that you make the Word of God of none effect through your tradition that you've received. traditions, doctrines of man can just totally void the power of the Word of God. And this is what happened to me. I remember after I had this experience on March 23rd, 1968, and the Word came alive to me, I remember opening up the Bible to scriptures that I knew. I'd read them. And like, for instance, in Acts chapter 3, where Jesus healed the man at the gate of the temple, my religious culture had taught on those, but every time they would spiritualize it and say that we were all like cripples before we met Jesus. And when you ask Jesus into your life, no longer are you a spiritual, emotional cripple. Jesus will heal you and you can rise up and walk into heaven with Him. And they would spiritualize it. And you know what? This sounds weird, but after I had that experience with the Lord, I read Acts chapter 3. And for the first time in my life, it dawned on me that the guy was physically healed. I had heard it spiritualized so many times, it never crossed my brain that this was a real miracle. It was always symbolic. Religious traditions and doctrines of man just totally gut the Word of God and take the power out of it. And that's the way I read my Bible. I was reading the Bible, but it wasn't alive to me. I knew Him as Savior, but I didn't really know the Lord. It was like I was always listening to somebody else tell me. I remember when my dad died, that the Baptist pastor came over, and it was an Easter Sunday morning. And he said, God needed your dad in heaven more than you needed him. The Lord took your dad home this morning, is what he said. And I remember as a 12-year-old kid thinking, why does God need my dad? I thought, that doesn't make sense, but you know what? I didn't know God. And so I just took other people's opinion and thought, well, it must have been God's will. And I accepted that. And that's the way that I was living my life. And one of the things that was taught, whether it was taught exactly this way, I believe it was, because nearly everybody who's been through the religious system comes up with the same conclusion. But I came to believe that God loved me and would answer my prayers and use me proportional to how holy I was living. I had to earn and deserve the blessing of God. And so from the time I was 8 until I was 18, I was seeking God and I was wanting God's power. I remember when my dad died, I spent 6 months praying, and I even fasted for him as an 11-year-old kid. Fasted for him thinking maybe that would make God heal him if I would fast. And I did everything I knew. And yet, I wasn't seeing any victory. I didn't have any power in my life. But I got on this treadmill of trying to earn God's favor. And like I told you, I was an introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face. And yet, I was told so many times that you had to do something for God. You had to witness. If you didn't witness, there'd be blood on your hands. And I was condemned and scared so much that I would psych myself up. I'd spend an hour psyching myself up so that I could go out and knock on doors and tell somebody about Jesus. I forced myself to do things totally. And I was doing everything I knew. I lived holier than the preachers that pastored our churches. I have never said a word of profanity in all my 59 years. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. Some of you are thinking, coffee? You know, coffee and booze aren't the same thing. You got scriptures that say you can drink coffee. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. Amen. I'm just saying, I lived a holy life. Man, this is Mr. Righteous right here. But you know what happened? I thought that God wouldn't love me and wouldn't bless me unless I was holy. And I started trying to be holy, and I lived holier than probably any person in here, or certainly nobody in here probably outbeat me. There might be some people in here who lived up to the same standards. But I lived holier than most people, and yet there was still no power. There was still no victory in my life. And it was just, I was trying and I was thinking that if I just do a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, then maybe God would move in my life. And here's the thing that changed my life. And I believe that this is exactly what Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 is describing. On March the 23rd, 1968, Saturday night, this will show you how religious I was. Every Saturday night for years, me and my best friends would get together and we would pray from about 10 till 11 o'clock at night on Saturday night. That's what we did as 18-year-olds, was pray on Saturday night. And so we would get together and pray, and we would sometimes have the leaders of the church get with us. And one time this youth director, Marion Warren, and he was different. He's the guy that if you were here this morning, that the church actually took a vote whether they should kick him out of the church, because he would say, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" And they thought that was sacrilegious that somebody would say that. He had an excitement about him that other people didn't have. And anyway, he was in that prayer meeting, and while we were still sitting around talking about things, Marion just hit his knees and started praying. And when Marion prayed, it was awesome. He would talk to the Lord, and the Lord would talk back to him. It was different than my prayers. I just pray, "God, forgive us of our many sins, bless us, send revival, help us, if it be your will, for Jesus' sake, amen." And you know what? It was always the same kind of thing. I learned it from people. I'd pray, parrot other people's prayers. But Marion would talk to God and talk about anything, and God would talk back to him. And it was interesting, and I enjoyed listening to Marion pray, but once he prayed, there was nothing left for me to say. This is before I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, and so, you know, I always would pray first and get my prayer out of the way so that I could enjoy his prayer. Well, this night he just hit his knees and started praying, and he prayed for 30 or 40 minutes, prayed for everybody in the world. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, what am I going to look like when it comes my turn to pray? This guy's already said everything. Everybody's going to think I'm a dud. And I was mad at Marion for praying before me. And I had anger and bitterness in my heart. And I was thinking bad thoughts about Marion while he was praying. And I don't know how all of this happened, but you know what? It's just like God pulled back a curtain and showed me how self-righteous and how religious and what a hypocrite I was.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach from his series entitled Knowing God. This teaching series was recorded at a recent Gospel Truth seminar in Chicago, Illinois. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series R1058 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK145 titled What the Word Reveals About God when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to thank those of you who have become a regular monthly partner with us. Did you know you're the ones who are allowing me to take this truth around the world? We actually only have, I think it's about 9,000 partners that produce somewhere around $200,000 a month. And yet our television bill is around $500,000 a month. The rest of it goes up and down depending on how many people respond. You know what? We need more people to become partners with us. I would like to ask you that if this program is blessing you, if you could see the benefit of this touching other people, then please pray about it, and then become a partner with us today.